I can't tell what's deep inside Earth's buried caverns. I've only read about their jewels, rich and rare. I've not explored the depths of any ocean. But if you want to meet the Savior, I've been there. When you're ready to meet Jesus, come see me. Come see me. When you're sick of sin and longing to be free, when you need a love that's so much deeper than your deepest sin, when you're ready to come home again, no matter where you've been, when you're ready to meet Jesus, come see me. Come see me. I've not walked or talked with Earth's most famous statesmen, and chances that I'll ever meet them all are dim. Oh, but if you'd like to know the King of Glory, I can take you to meet Jesus, for I know him. When you're ready to meet Jesus, come see me. Come see me. When you're sick of sin and
anyway, another big good morning to everybody. I welcome all the visitors. Welcome to Reaching Out Ministries for this special occasion for a record amount of people getting baptized. I think we got 12 people, the most that I've ever gotten baptized at once, I should say. And my message today, I started it last week, was about freedom in Jesus. Are you free in Jesus? I used to sing with a We used to sing with a couple, a native couple. Their name was Kenny and Millie Jackson. They had a song. It was called Freedom in Jesus. There's freedom in Jesus. There's freedom in knowing his name. Do you know that name? Has he made you free? Or are you even more in bondage? Only you can answer that question. But after today's message, you will probably look in the mirror and again, I am not here to condemn people. Jesus said, I did not come to condemn. I'm come to bring you life and life more abundant. See, Christianity is not like religion. Religion puts on outward laws and makes you keep them. Christianity starts from the inside out. Jesus wants one thing, that's your heart. Once he has your heart, he knows he can change you and mold you into what you need to be. Sometimes we don't always obey that mold, but the first thing first is that you become free in knowing who you are in Christ. I'm going to start today's message with the prayer that Jesus told us to pray in Matthew 6, verse 9 to 10. It says, Jesus speaking, "After this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father, which art in heaven." There is something very unique about this statement right there also already. Our Father, which art in heaven. That's personal. It doesn't say our God, which art in heaven. I can personalize it even more. So I'll say my Father, which is in heaven. Is he your Father? Once he's become your Father, he will stay your Father. And you will stay his child. Our Father, which is in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Let me make your kingdom in my heart. Your will be done in earth, in me, as it is in heaven. How is his will in heaven? Is the question you have to ask here. His will in heaven is perfect. So what's his will for you here? As it is in heaven. So he answers the question right there. So if you want to know what the Father's will for you is, it's the same will in earth as it is in heaven. And then give us this day our daily bread. Never worry about food. Just pray, give us this day our daily bread and you'll have enough for the day. And here's a very, very important one, which my message will hinge on. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's rise and ask the Lord for his blessings. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your grace. I thank you for this morning, for all those young people and that have decided to make this commitment to you. Lord, you will honor their commitment. You will allow them to feel your tangible presence, Lord Jesus, that this is a decision, Lord Jesus, that has nothing to do, Lord Jesus, with the cleansing or the washing away their sins, but is a sign, Lord. It's symbolic of that they have died, that they will die and rise again with you, that they have died and risen with you, and that they have become new in you. Their spirit is now one with you, or it has been made one with you. Lord, you will open our eyes and our understanding to the message that you have for us this morning, Father. You'll allow your Holy Spirit to just saturate this whole place. Lord Jesus, we depend on you. We depend on you for our freedom, and we seek to you, the only truth giver there is, for our truths and our freedom. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. You may be seated. Continuing in verse 14, it says, "If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." I'm going to explain something here. This is written for us who have become believers in Christ also. So this is also towards us who have become believers. Forgiving people who do bad things to you can be a daily occurrence. It's a choice you have to walk. There's people that are going to do bad things to you every day of your life. You just need to be in a working environment where there's lots of people, and there's going to be people there who don't do things the way you like them to be done, or they will say things that'll hurt you. And the choice is to always forgive and remember that you have been forgiven also. And I will have some good examples for that out of Scripture. But you will also have to choose to forgive them every time they hurt you. Not sometime, every time. So before we became Christians, or should I say before we became born again, in Psalms 51:5 it says, we were sin. We didn't become sin, we were sin. It says, in sin did my mother conceive me. So we were born that way. You see, God does not send anyone to hell. Not one person does he send to hell. We were on our way to hell. We are all on our way to hell, and he is desperately trying to stop us from going there. And his process of trying to stop you from going there is the simplest of all means. There is nothing simpler. It's childlike. It's absolute foolishness to those who are wise, the Bible says. So he chose the foolishness of preaching about the cross and the Son to stop you from going to the lake of fire. And it's a one-time event when you get saved. When you get saved from the lake of fire, you're not saved just that one time you ask God. You're saved for eternity. He does not throw you back into the pit once you sin again. It doesn't work that way. Otherwise, nobody will ever be saved. Now, if you have called upon the name of the Lord, you are saved. That's what the Bible says. It doesn't say you will become. It says you are saved. Have you called upon the name of the Lord? If you have, you are born again. You are saved. And Satan knows that. So guess what he sets out to do? And he will go to great lengths to keep you from knowing that you are saved. And there's a big reason for that. So he tries to keep you from knowing that you are already seated in a heavenly place, where he cannot touch your spirit man anymore. So the spirit man, once you become born again, is off limits to Satan. But do you know that? That's the question. That's where the freedom comes in that I'm going to be talking about. Your spirit man is sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Bible says that. We are sealed unto the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit. Our spirit man, it has to be separated from the flesh here. Now, the New Testament is primarily written towards believers, in other words, God's children. He has become our Heavenly Father, as we prayed in the beginning. We personalize it. He's become my Heavenly Father. And it's warning us in the New Testament a lot of what the enemy can do to us. Satan and his hordes, who are at work at all times, seeking how he can steal, kill, and destroy as many of you or us who have become believers, to make us miserable. You just go to a lot of mental health institutes that's full of believers who don't know who they are in Christ. If somebody would have taught them that they are completely free in Jesus, they would not end up in mental health institutions. And I guarantee you that, because Jesus brings freedom, total freedom. But Satan comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And if we do not get filled up with the wisdom and the knowledge that our Heavenly Father has for us of how God wants us to prosper in all areas of our lives, of our life, then we are men of most miserable. We'll be miserable. Remember the scripture, my people, it says, my people perish for their lack of knowledge. Do you have the knowledge that you need to know that you are free? You can find it in scripture. Dig and you'll find it. We don't have to argue about things. Just dig yourself and you'll come to the same conclusion I have come to. There is freedom in Jesus Christ. We must, though, repent from our sins or we will perish. And I'm going to explain this one here. As believers in Jesus, we can still fall into the shackles of sin. That's separate from our salvation. Remember, your salvation has no strings attached other than you called upon the name of the Lord and you got saved. Now it's up to you how you live your life to stay free in Jesus, in your everyday life. And unforgiveness, envyings, and bitterness is a snare to a slow and sure physical death if you do not deal with it. Repent means to turn away from sin and change our behavior, not cut off the fruit of sin. We need to cut off the root that produces the fruit of sin. So the demonic realm, the demons have legal rights to believers, to torment people. Hang on, I'll back up here a bit. This is a bit earlier. Demons have legal rights to torment people before they're born again. And they still have legal rights to torment us after we become believers. How? Let me explain this. You see, when you become born again, the Holy Spirit becomes one with your spirit. But our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions, is still under the control of the flesh and sometimes the devil. And it has to be renewed day by day. Romans 12, verse 2, out of the King James Version, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." There's a process. You have to be, it's the renewing process, and not of your spirit. God took that care of that once and for all by that one sacrifice as a gift given to you. Now you have to perfect the other part. And again, this was and is written to believers. So what happens if you don't go down that path of renewing your mind? The enemy will take advantage of the situation, which is Satan. Demons have legal rights to torment you. Why would demons leave if they don't have to? After all, they're seeking somewhere, some place to go. They attach and attack the soul part of you, and which is your mind, will, and your emotions. The way we operate and conduct ourselves towards believers and unbelievers alike tells us a lot about how deep our relationship is with Jesus. So if you're only fooling yourself if you do not treat other people right, then you just have a superficial Christianity that doesn't go farther than the person that you're looking at in the mirror. That's as far as it reaches. So let's look at one of the main reasons why we fail a lot. Let's look at unforgiveness. Let's take a deep look into it. Until we truly forgive all who have hurt us from our heart, we will never be on a path to freedom. And we need to repent for that prideful unforgiveness. That means to turn from our prideful way, humble ourselves before Almighty God, and He will heal us and help us with the power of His Holy Spirit that He has given us. And yes, believers can be demon-possessed or oppressed, however you want to put it, because why would you want to cast a demon out of an unbeliever? It'll come back with seven more to do the same thing. That could happen also to believers. In Galatians 5:16, it says, also out of the King James Version, it says this, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." Here's another choice that you have to make. "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill" what? "The lusts of the flesh." And after we've become saved, we have to choose to walk in the Spirit. Again, this is written towards believers. So the Holy Spirit within us tries to help us get delivered from this demonic war that's being waged in our soul man, which is our mind, if you will. In Matthew 18, verse 22 to 35, it says, when Peter asked Jesus, "How often should I forgive someone?" And Peter goes, "Seven times." And Jesus said unto him, "I say unto you, until seven times." Not until seven times, but until seven times 70. This is not a hyperbole. This is as often as it happens, you forgive. There is no number. He just threw that number there, but I think it means all the time. Therefore, here he gives an example here. "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven." And remember, keep things in context here. There is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. That means his own. "And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay," he didn't have the type of money to pay that, "his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made." That's us. We owed everything. The debt was too big to bear and to pay for us. It would have cost us everything. Women, wives, children, lands, to pay that debt we owe. "The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord," he did the first thing that was necessary. He fell down knowing he was in dire straits, saying, "Lord, have patience with me. I will pay everything." Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, that's our Jesus, and loosed him and forgave him all his debt. Then Jesus came and paid the whole debt for us if we do the same thing, humble ourselves. But there's something that guy did that was wicked. "But that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him only 100 pence, almost nothing. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe, or I'm going to choke you to death. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not." This is us if we do not forgive others. This is what you're doing to yourself. "But when but went and he cast him into prison till he should pay the debt, the prison of unforgiveness. Even though he would not release him through forgiveness, kept him bound, he himself also was in a prison of torment himself, the guy who would not forgive. So it's a two-way street. You're not releasing yourself and you're not releasing the other guy with your unforgiving heart as believers, as fellow servants. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. And they came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then said his Lord, after that he had called them, he said unto him, O you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you desired me. Should not you have also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? And his Lord was angry and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother or sister their trespasses. Let me explain a bit here about the tormentors. This is not talking about hell here for you who think it is. This is talking about physical torment, mental torment. The tormentors are demons. Unforgiveness is a demonic stronghold that brings about many other mental issues. It does not stop with just unforgiveness. It continues, it grows and into something that is not good. They torment you with negative thoughts, causing fear and anger and anxiety, depression, jealous spirits, self-hatred even, lust, controlling other people, manipulating people, bringing about sickness and disease in our bodies due to our unforgiving hearts. So you see, unforgiveness brings so much with us that we don't want. That's why I'm telling you, if you want to be free, truly free in Jesus Christ, forgive. If there's anybody who hurt you in any way, you need to forgive. So this morning, make the good and godly choice to forgive anyone who has ever hurt you. Whether it's emotionally, physically, sexually abused you, choose to forgive them from your heart. You will find freedom that you have never ever had. Choose to forgive, and you will be set free from the prison of demonic torment. They will have no stronghold on you anymore. Do not leave this sanctuary this morning with that prideful mindset. It will destroy you physically. I promise you, the end results physically are not good if you harbor unforgiveness. So if you have struggled with this, will you please, just for this second, bow your heads and pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me for carrying this demonic grudge against whomever it may be. I deeply repent of the sin of unforgiveness and pride. O Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Amen. So thank you, Jesus, for your forgiveness. Thank you that you have allowed us to forgive. So now go after the real truth, not your truth, not my truth, the real truth, and it will set you free. The truths of Jesus Christ, that's what you go after, and it will set you free. And him or her whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen.
I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Saved from sin, I know I am. All my sins are taken away. I'll be there too. All my sins are taken away, taken away. You can talk about me, just all you please. You can talk about me, just all you please. You can talk about me, just all you please. I'll pray for you down on my knees. All my sins are taken away, taken away. I'm going down to the garden to pray. I stayed all day. All my sins are taken away, taken away. I'm going home on the morning train. I'm going home on the morning train. I'm going home on the morning train. Glory, glory to his name. All my sins are taken away, taken away. All my sins are taken away, taken away.